From Mark chapter 5, where we hear of the touch of Jesus healing two people. You may be seated. Have you ever been in a really crowded space and been completely unable to avoid bumping and touching all sorts of people around you? Maybe you were at a crowded concert. Or it used to be those lines waiting outside the store on Black Friday with everyone clamoring to get inside to get the best deals. Having lived outside New York City for 6 years, taking the subway was always a little bit of a trial for someone who liked to have their own personal spaces. You could kind of figure out what times of the day would be best to go and what times of day would be worse to get on the subway if you really wanted some space. And I never did this, but watching all of those people cram into Times Square on New Year's Eve seems much more to me like a nightmare than the exciting time that all of them seem to be having. Most of us like to have a little bit of our own personal space, don't we? Free from unwanted constriction of a crowd or the touch of a stranger. And this was certainly highlighted a few years ago when fears of sickness caused us all to learn about social distancing, right? For some, 6 feet was all the closer that they really wanted to get to anybody else anyway, right? But God designed us as human beings to generally desire a closeness with other people. Sometimes that's a physical closeness, sometimes it's an emotional closeness, but we're generally wired to desire some form of intimacy. And often, that intimacy includes touch. I was at the wake for a woman who died recently, and waiting in line to offer my condolences to the widower, and I noticed that he was hugging every single person who came through that line. At first, I was a little bit worried. It took me a little while to get to the front, but I was worried, wondering whether I was the only one who was there who didn't have that intimate personal relationship with him. In fact, I'd never met him face to face. And would I be the one who he didn't offer a hug to? I was a little bit concerned. As I approached him and started to offer my condolences, I reached out my hand for a handshake, and he took it and he said, "I give hugs. Is that okay with you?" I said, "Sure, that's great." And he pulled me in for this deep and warm hug. Only then did I have the opportunity to introduce myself and explain that connection that had brought me there that day. But what a way to make someone feel welcome and connected. Sometimes that physical touch conveys as much as a word. It conveys as much as anything else could possibly convey. And Jesus certainly operated in that same way. The way that made people feel welcome and connected. And often he used the power of touch to convey that to people. It's true that Jesus uses touch to heal and to connect with all kinds of people, even with us today. And Mark gives us an incredible account of two healings that happen as a result of Jesus' touch. We begin as Jesus was engulfed by another great crowd about him as he was by the sea. And in the middle of that crowd, there was Jairus, who was one of the rulers of the synagogue. And Jairus seeks Jesus out and he finds him and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death." What Jairus says next, though, is phrased very specifically, and it tells us a great deal about what people already knew and believed about Jesus. What Jairus said was, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be made well and live." Jairus must have heard, and he probably even had seen Jesus heal people in this way, by laying their hands, laying his hands on them. And so Jairus has faith that Jesus would do the same thing for him and for his daughter. And Jesus immediately recognizes the faith of this man, the man who's pleading for the life of his daughter, and he moves directly toward action, without even saying a word. Mark tells us, "And he went with him." We'll get back to Jairus and his ailing daughter in just a bit, but before Jesus is able to get to that miraculous healing, he has to make his way through this great crowd that is gathered around him. So going with Jairus to the house is not such an easy thing. If you've ever seen a rock star hanging over the front of the stage at a concert, or if you've ever seen an athlete leaving the stadium for the locker room through that little tunnel where the crowd is above, or if you've ever seen a politician who's working a rope line at a big event, what do all of those things have in common? What they have in common is that people are reaching out their hands toward the celebrity in hopes of maybe getting a high five or a handshake or just a brush with what they perceive as greatness. And the same thing is happening here to Jesus. But the touches of the people in this particular crowd were about much more than a desire to make contact with somebody who was famous. They'd seen the healing power of Jesus' touch. And many of them had obviously concluded that Jesus was some sort of magic object that could convey just a little bit of the divine to them, whether he was aware of their touch or not. And as crazy as that sounds, it's surprising that this actually works. At least it worked for this one woman who for years had been dealing with this bleeding issue. She said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." But what about all of those other people who are reaching out for Jesus, who are brushing up against him? Mark makes no mention of anyone except this one singular woman being healed. And when that woman came back to Jesus to confess that she was the one who caused that power to go out of him, as Mark puts it, Jesus revealed why she was healed when so many others were not. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Perhaps all of those other people who were clamoring to get a look, to get a touch of Jesus, were just looking to use Jesus as a magical cure, without actually having any faith in him. It's clear that the woman's faith in the power of Jesus to heal is the distinction between her and so many others. She had faith that this would work if she only touched his garment. It's possible that each of us at times has been like that throng of followers, seeking a healing or a forgiving miracle from Jesus without really thinking about Jesus at all and who he is. but rather only thinking about what could be done for us. How often do we rush through the words of confession? And I changed the confession and absolution that we were doing this morning. You probably noticed that because what I'm using now is the words that we used this morning. But how often do we rush through those words in the confession of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ? I think too often we rush through those words. And they're so important because they are the place that points to our faith in Jesus. That's the exact place right there where we acknowledge our faith in the power of Jesus to heal. Because he is the one whose bitter sufferings and death bring us healing. And that's the place where we become that woman who receives the power that comes out of Jesus. It's the place where we become that woman as opposed to the crowd who receives nothing because they don't know what Jesus is actually capable of. Jesus says it over and over and over again. And it's very simple. Your faith has made you well. And over and over and over again, Jesus uses the power of his touch to heal. Which is where we come back to Jairus and his daughter. He asks Jesus very specifically, "Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." It's a request. It's conveyed as a command to Jesus. For this man, though, has faith that Jesus will do for him and his daughter as he asks. And that's exactly what Jesus does. When he reaches the house and he enters into it, he finds that girl who he has been told is dead. Actually, before he even encounters the girl, he finds a group of people who are weeping and wailing loudly because they believe that this girl is dead. Imagine having the guts to walk into a home where people are mourning for a dead 12-year-old girl and casually ask, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." But that's exactly the presence that Jesus commands. And the people who were there obeyed him as he instructed them to wait outside as he did what he needed to do. And Jesus then uses that healing touch again. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking. Pretty amazing. It's a miracle, absolutely. Jesus' touch did this because of the faith of that man, because of the faith of the woman who touched his garment. And you might say, all that is well and good, but I need healing now. And Jesus isn't here to take me by the hand. Jesus isn't here that I, in faith, might touch his garment and be healed. You might say that, but it wouldn't be true because he is. He was here last week as Erwin came to the font and the hand of Jesus washed away his sin through the flowing waters of baptism. Just as his hand was in the water of your baptism. He was here just a few moments ago when you each received the forgiveness that was spoken over you by me in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever want to feel that healing touch even more tangibly, come to private confession and absolution, where my hands will be placed on your head while you receive those words of forgiveness. And when I say my hands, what's really happening is Jesus reaching out through the hands of his servant to provide the healing touch of forgiveness to the repentant sinner. One Saturday a month, or whenever you feel that you might need that healing touch, it's available to you. And every week, every single week, the touch of Jesus comes in the form of his body and blood, placed on your lips for the forgiveness of sins, for healing and restoration, and for the nourishment that your body and soul needs. All who come in faith, believing that Christ has the power to heal, to forgive, and to restore his people, come away with just those things. Because he desires to be close to you. He wants that intimate relationship with you. And he wants you to desire the same thing. Even as he created you to desire closeness with the people who are around you, he created you to be in that deep and intimate relationship with him. And he's the one who draws you in. He's the one who offers you all of those gifts. He's the one who reaches out his hand with that healing touch. Have faith that his touch will heal you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.